Have you ever wondered how the Sermon on the Mount applies to you as a woman in these latter days? If so, we're going to start diving into it today. We're going to talk just about the first five verses. So join us in Matthew 5 and we'll figure this out together.
Welcome to Bible Women in Bathrobes, the podcast where faith meets comfort. Join us Tuesday and Thursday mornings as the gals from Women Warriors of Light and their guests don bathrobes and dive into the inspiring stories of women in the Bible and the teachings of Jesus Christ. From Esther's bravery to the Sermon on the Mount, we explore it all with warmth, laughter, sisterhood, and maybe even a few sleepy-eyed moments. Tune in live or at your leisure as we learn lessons from Scripture which empower women today.
Welcome to Bible Women in Bathrobes. I'm Tamara K. Anderson, and I have Bonnie Randall with me and Tiffany Fletcher. And Bonnie and I were kind of introduced on the trailer episode, so I'm going to just quickly introduce you to Tiffany Fletcher. Tiffany is a member of our Women Warriors of Light Advisory Board. She's an author and an example of faith and courage. Through her life experiences, she shares hope and coming from a place of darkness to light and love. So thanks for joining us, Tiffany.
Yeah, thank you.
And oh, we are so happy to have you. We are going to start by just kind of setting the stage. We're talking about the Sermon on the Mount, or we're going to start talking about the Sermon on the Mount. There's no way we're going to cover it all in one episode. So we'll probably get through about five verses is all, and then we'll pick up next week on Tuesday and we'll keep going until we're done with the Sermon on the Mount. And then we'll pick another thing that we can talk about from the lessons of the words of Jesus Christ. So the Sermon on the Mount was one of the Savior's first kind of big speeches. I have no other word for it, for his disciples. He had just been baptized and called his disciples. And so they're kind of he's starting his ministry, and these are his first words to his disciples, to people who are following him. And so I just imagine maybe even being a passerby and seeing a big group gathered and going, oh, what's this about? You know what I mean? And how, well, we use the word blessed, and we're going to talk about that a lot on this as we talked this morning, but how blessed they were to have been there when the Savior began his ministry. I just think it would have been wonderful to sit at his feet and learn from him. So indeed, they were blessed just to be there. Any thoughts, Tiffany, as we get going?
I think it's also important to recognize that this is a time where he had just been tempted. He had went and fasted and just been tempted. And he was now really coming down and recognizing, okay, this is who I am. And now I'm going to be bold and I'm going to start testifying and telling other people because I know who I am now. And now it's time for me to tell other people who I am. So this is really his first time going out there and saying, okay, it's time for me to be about my Father's business. And for me, I think that, you know, that first testimony is one of the most important testimonies of all, because that's when we really understand who he is and what his lessons are. And those lessons are powerful because of the experience he just had in the temptations that he had with the adversary. So I love this part of the Bible because it really does help us to see who he is and who he wants us to be in reality.
Love it. Bonnie, any thoughts?
I really like that you brought that up, Tiffany, because the first couple of scriptures are all about being humble. And it's a interesting thing to think that he's recognized who he is, who is, you know, the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. And yet he's the example of all of these things that he's asking us to be. And so it's interesting because when he declares himself as the Son of God or the Son of Man and all these different titles that he gives himself, right? The I Am and all these things. When he does that, you would think that that would be almost the opposite of what he's saying here, right? He's saying poor in spirit, the meek, and then it goes on to talk about those that mourn and all these things. And a lot of those first few scriptures all point back to being humble and recognizing that you need a savior. And he's saying, recognizing that you need me. And one of my favorite things about humble and what it means, and one of the things that has kind of come to me over the last few weeks as I've been studying this, is that if he is the great example of all of these things, in which ways did he show up as humble or poor in spirit or meek? And we can talk about that more. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts. But one thing that stood out to me was that he didn't put himself down, which is almost what you'd think when you when we think about being humble as a society. A lot of times we think it's, well, acknowledging our faults, right? It's maybe not condemning ourselves, but putting ourselves down and just saying, oh man, I am not worthy. I'm this, I'm that. Like I can't believe I'm whatever, right? I did it when I was thinking about becoming on this podcast. Like, holy cow, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm not a scholar. I'm not a scriptorian. Like, I'm not an author. Like, there's so many things that make me very disqualified to be in this role as a co-host for a podcast that's a Bible study. But I can acknowledge who I am, just like the Savior did. And who I am is a daughter of God. Who I am is someone who is striving to be a disciple, who is striving to follow him in all things. And in that regard, I am qualified because I do recognize that I need him in all things. And that's really what he's saying in these first few scriptures is recognize me as your savior. And here I am to give you these blessings.
Yeah. Well, I think that is a great transition into that first verse. The blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. First of all, blessed. Any thoughts on blessed that you guys want to comment on? Or I can do blessed if you guys don't want to. All right.
I can
Go
say
ahead.
something real fast. I feel like blessed is something that a lot of us feel like, oh, I'm not blessed. I've got so many struggles. I've got all these things that are happening. But here's the thing. He is telling each one of us that we are blessed. We are important. We are valuable in his sight. When we do the things that he is inviting us to do, blessed means that we receive those things that God wants us to receive, that we are his children and we receive his blessings. And I love in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed is spoken so many times. It's the one word that is repeated over and over and over again. And I feel that that's symbolic because in this moment, as I said before, he has come into knowing who he is. I mean, he already knew, but now he's inviting us for to come and know who we are, that we are blessed, and that we are also children of God, and that we can receive those blessings that God has for us once we truly recognize who we are as his children. And so he has already done the work to know who he is, and he's inviting us to come now and do the work that we need to do to recognize how blessed we truly are as children of God.
One of the, that's awesome. I love that. One of the definitions of blessed that I found was happy. And it's, I think it's pointing us towards how we can become when we are reliant on the Savior. So you're happy when you're poor in spirit, which you're like, wait, what? That doesn't like jive, you know, it doesn't sound like it works, but we become
Oxymoron.
happy when we're lacking. Basically, poor in spirit means you're lack. You recognize that you have a lack. So where do you turn? He's saying, You're blessed if you're lacking and you turn to me, you know, because then we really can be happy or at least at peace with our circumstance in life, whether it's what we want it to be or not. And then he gives the promise, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's where we all want to be. We want to be in God's kingdom, and that's his promise. So it's like, do this and here's your promise. You know, when you're lacking, come to me. And I like how you pointed out, Bonnie, that the Savior exemplified this. He was happy, even though he relied on his Father, you know. And so it's interesting to kind of see how he, like you said, he perfectly exemplified this. What other thoughts do you guys have on that? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
I think on top of that, the blessings are when you work on these things and you do my commandments and you learn who you are, like Tiffany's saying, right? And we come unto him, like there are blessings. And it's like my husband always says, I'm probably going to quote him a lot because he is the Praetorian in the family. He always points out to the kids and to me that these are like natural universal laws, like the way God has set up the universe. We do this and this happens. He's a God of order. And when you obey these laws, naturally you're going to be blessed because that's how he set it up. It is a universal law. And so he's saying, if you are poor in spirit, you will, what are the words? You will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he goes on to say whatever, but I looked up poor in spirit because I thought, what in the world does that mean? You know, like, and I remember people saying in Sunday school and different Bible studies I've attended, right? They talk about the poor and the people who are lacking materially, but then also like lacking spiritually, right? Because he's saying in spirit. So I thought, I need to understand this. So I did a deep dive for like 3 days straight on each one of these verses. That's how like obsessed I became, because I'm like, I really have to understand this. And I loved some of the different things that came up: broken heart, contrite, troubled, discouraged, downhearted. And then one of the scriptures that came up is a cross reference into, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. That is the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is the time of rest. And then it continues to go on, right? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek. I'm getting a little ahead here. And lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And one of the things that this definition made me think of is when I was a newbie in Christianity, I say newbie in Christianity, even though I was born in it, I had left my faith for a time after some stuff had happened to me in college, right after college. And my life just took a terrible dive. I really spiraled out of control. And at one point, I was so poor in spirit, literally had nothing left to give. I was so lost. I was so broken. My world was literally shattering everywhere. I lost my job. I didn't have a place to live. I was couch surfing, just one disaster after another. And my sister flew me up to Canada to be with her. And I remember telling her, Em, I want nothing to do with God. He's turned his back on me and I've turned my back on him. And she's like, oh, no, no, no. You can maybe not want anything to do with God, but make no mistake, he has not turned his back on you. And I'm like, all right, whatever. I don't want to have this conversation with you. I don't want to like talk about Jesus. I don't want to pray. I don't want to do any of these things. Just let me wallow in my self-pity. Let me throw myself a pity party. And So I did. And she was as respectful as she could be, but being the Christian that she was, she just exuded light. There were Bible verses all over her house. She had Christian music going. Her kids were quoting it all the time. Her oldest at the time was like 4. And anyway, long story short, my niece comes to me and says, "Bonnie, why do you hate Jesus?" Or something like that. Like, "Why aren't you coming to church with us?" And I felt so bad at that point. I couldn't look at this little 4-year-old and say I hated Jesus because I didn't. I just felt like he abandoned me. But the truth was, he hadn't. And it makes me think of that song by Bethel Music, "The Goodness of God." He ran after me and he rescued me and he made up for all the brokenness, and he put me back together while I was there in Canada. And he rescued me. And I feel like that is one of the greatest things he could have done, was starting this sermon out with the poor in spirit. He right out the gate acknowledges everyone in the group and everyone in this world who is broken, who's going through some sort of hard thing, some trial, some challenge, some whatever it is. He's saying, "Listen, if you will just turn to me and look at me, you will live. You will find rest. You will find heaven. You will find wholeness again."
Thank you, Bonnie. Wow, what a beautiful personal story of being broken and lacking and slowly letting Jesus back in, maybe through the example of a 3-year-old.
He was so cute.
Out of the mouth of babes, right? Well, and I think that fits perfectly into the next verse, which is, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So sometimes we find ourselves sad and discouraged, and his promises, come to me and I will give you peace. I will give you rest, as Bonnie said. I will comfort you. I love that one of the examples of Jesus Christ, especially like when Lazarus died, he wept. He wept with Mary and Martha. And I think it's okay to go through times of mourning. It's part of who we are. It shows that we loved. So what a blessing that he can be with us and weep with us when we are sad and need to be comforted. Any thoughts on that verse, Tiffany?
I actually want to go back for a minute to the
Oh,
poor
yeah.
in spirit. Just, I think it's interesting, like Tamara, that you said that, poor means something lacking. And I think that sometimes, Bonnie, when we get into that place where we're angry and we're struggling and we just don't know if God is listening to us, part of that being poor in spirit is being poor of pride, right? Is letting go of our pride, is like being void of pride, being void of anything that puts us between the save, but put something between us and the Savior, right? Like, we need to lack those things, because when we lack those things, when we really, like, give him our will, then that's when we can mourn and truly be comforted. Like, we have to be able to let go of those things that are keeping us from the Savior, and to really be that, not just poor in spirit and sad and sorrowful, but poor in the fact that we are not fighting him anymore, so that we can really feel his comfort and his succoring when we need to. Because I, like your sister, like, I know God is always there. He is always there to comfort us. And the question is, are we in a place where we are able to receive that comforting? It's like, when you're as a mom, you have your kids and they're frustrated with you and they're like, "No, leave me alone. I need my space," kind of thing. Like, you want to be there to comfort them, but they have to be in a place to receive that. Otherwise, that comforting doesn't, it just falls on unwilling hearts, so to speak. And so, I think that one leads to the other, like being poor in spirit, being void of pride and those things that keep us from the Savior, is what allows us to come to him and be comforted by him. And I mean, there's so many times in my own life where that has been a pattern of mine, where I'm just like, no, God, just leave me alone for a minute, because I'm just really mad at you, right? And then he does. He does that for us. He gives us that space so that we can learn and grow and recognize how much we need him and get to that place, you know, like the prodigal son, where we are just wallowing with the pigs, right? And we're at a place where we're like, okay, God, I'm just kidding. I need you. And I am sorrowful for how I have treated you. And I am sorry for not allowing you to help me. Please, I'm coming to you now in poor in spirit, void of pride and anger and all those things that keep me from you. Now, Lord, please comfort me. And I really do love how it builds on to the next one, because it makes it so that we can recognize, okay, am I void of the things that I need to be void of in order to receive the comforting that I need to receive from the Savior?
100%, which is what meekness means, right? Like willingness to submit and humble and modest and unpretentious and submissive, all those things, right? Like you just described what it means to be meek. And that word threw me for a loop too, because I was like, I don't even know what meekness is, if I could really be honest, right? So I went and looked it up and described that. And I think, man, Tiffany, you're absolutely right, because when we're in those moments, right, our pride is what's keeping us from his succor. It is what's keeping us from being cleansed of our sins, being relieved of the pain, from the healing, right? I'm a heart-centered life coach, and one of the number one things I have learned in doing this job is that in order to recognize who we are and to rise above the ashes, we have to recognize the things that we have to let go of. We're all holding on to emotional and spiritual baggage. And if we can turn and face it and see ourselves in an honest light, see ourselves for who we really are, which is what Christ is inviting us to do in these scriptures, when we can really recognize who we are, both the good and the things that deplete us, things that maybe keep us down and keep us from rising above, right? When we can really examine those things, we can then start to recognize, hey, I've got some things I've got to work on, and that's okay, because the things I've got to work on don't take away from who I really am. And that's probably, oh gosh, I would say almost every single one of my clients, that's one of the first things we work on, is realizing who they are in their eternal nature. Who are they as a child of God, and who are they inherently? Who do they come to earth as? And once we can start to recognize ourselves with that true, honest view, right, then we can start to let go of the things that don't serve us and that don't lead us to happiness, that don't lead us to rest, that don't lead us to peace, that don't lead us to the kingdom of heaven, all those things. And we can let go of that baggage. But we have to be, as Tiffany said, first poor in spirit, willing to be contrite, willing to be taught. That's what another definition of meekness is, willing to be taught, to surrender, right? Anyway, I just think it's really important to note that we have to look at ourselves honestly, both the good and the things that hold us back.
I love that. Thank you so much for that. We're gonna have to wrap it up. Believe it or not, we could probably keep going for another 30 minutes.
It flies by.
I
really
know.
Fast. I want to just use a definition of meek really quick that my husband taught me, because he's also really great at this. Meekness is being able to have a sword, is having a sword, but knowing when to sheathe it. And I love that, because it means we're confident. Meekness isn't like a, It's not looking at ourselves in a negative light. It is really having confidence in who we are, but also knowing when to speak and when to do what Mary said and ponder in our hearts, right? Like instead of creating contention, but being willing to just be still for a moment. And I love that about Meek. It's a quiet confidence, you know, that you can testify when you need to, but you also know when to be still. So sorry, I just need to throw that out there.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I know I did a huge study on meek, because it isn't a word we use now. You know what I mean? And there were several people in the scripture who are meek, and Jesus certainly was. One of the best definitions I ever heard was, it's like, and this is what the Greek word meant, was they used it in terms of like a wild animal being tame. So having immense power. I think of a bridle on a horse. Immense power, but under complete control. It's being able to have that strength, but knowing how to use it wisely, you know. And I think that is Jesus, like, perfect example of that. I'd say Moses was meek. Oh yeah, you know, great power, complete control, you know. That's what it means. And I think that those two previous verses kind of lead into this verse, of, you know, real, first of all, realizing what we're lacking, and then being coming unto the Lord broken and needing to be comforted. Oh, look how far I've fallen, Lord. And then the blessing that the meek shall inherit the earth, you know, that that's where he wants us to, once we've turned to him and we draw on his strength, we're strong enough. We've learned how to kind of control those urges to lash out. And I'm not saying we're perfect. We all need Jesus every day, right? But yeah, doing all those things. All right. Do like a quick 30-second takeaway, and we'll close down for this first episode. Tiffany, go first.
I am just grateful to be here. I've learned, even in these 20 minutes, the things that I want to do to be more meek, to be more willing to come to the Savior and put away the things that are keeping me from Him. So I just am grateful for you women and helping me bring these Bible verses together to help me become the person that I need to become for Jesus.
Bonnie.
I think my biggest takeaway from these verses was that how much I need the Savior and His grace. And that when we combine the atonement and all that He did for us with therapy, and, you know, obviously that's what my lens, right? But when I combine the atonement with different therapy modalities, we have lasting peace. We have lasting change. We have lasting healing. If we ignore His piece of the pie, we will find ourselves in that cycle over and over and over again. And in order to truly find the kingdom of heaven and to find all these blessings that He's promising us, we need Him. He is the key. He is the linchpin, the secret ingredient, if you will, to all happiness and joy.
Yeah, love it. Gosh, you guys have said practically everything I was thinking. So I'll just conclude with this. Blessed means happy. If you want to be happy, find Jesus. So thank you for joining us this morning on our first episode of Bible Women and Bathrobes. On Thursday, we're going to start talking about Ruth this week. And then next Tuesday, we will be back, and we will be studying verses 6 through 9 of Matthew 5. So a little bit more of the blessed are, and then the reward. So be happy in Jesus, and may you be blessed today. Thanks for joining us.
Amen. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks for tuning in to Bible, Women, and Bathrobes, hosted by Women Warriors of Light. We've loved exploring the stories of remarkable women or the teachings of the Savior today with you. If today's episode brought someone special to mind, be sure to spread the word. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss a moment of inspiration and sisterhood. Just a friendly reminder, all opinions we share are entirely personal, as we are trying to decipher and apply Bible teachings just like you are. Until next time, stay faithful
and may your journey be blessed and illuminated by God's love.